And Monday, we call it Enrichment Monday. And it's kind of a whole bag of party tricks that could happen on Monday. So we do senior seminar to help students plan post-graduation, because we know that graduating can create a lot of stress and anxiety for students, especially students who have experienced trauma or who don't have stable home lives. So we help them plan to make sure that they are feeling good about their graduation outcomes. We do seminars for our younger students where we talk conflict resolution, study skill, time management. We do interventions for our students who are close to being referred for truancy. We do tutoring. We have safe spaces for students to come and work that are quiet, maybe just away from the home. So Mondays are really focused on enrichment. They're focused on tutoring, reteaching, and community building, because we really just want students to feel welcomed to come anytime, even if they're not required.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Lauren Blakely. Lauren is the superintendent at Relevant Academy of Eaton County, which is in Grand Ledge, Michigan, which is only about 20, 25 minutes from where I raised my kids in Leslie, Michigan, or well, Pleasant Lake, Michigan, I should say. My kids went to Leslie High School, so there you go. So Lauren, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Yes, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to kind of talk about the evolution that Relevant has been working through these last 4 years since I've been with them.
Okay, awesome. Let's jump right into it.
Yeah. So Relevant Academy, it's a non-traditional high school, an alternative choice, we say, for students in the mid-Michigan area. And a lot of the students that come to us with a goal of having a high school credential, but they haven't found success in that traditional model for a multitude of reasons, right? So it could be social or academic or behavior. But kind of a common denominator with these reasons are these large school systems and these traditional methods of teaching and grading and interacting. And so, you know, in 2010, the superintendents of Eaton County worked with the ISD to create Relevant. And Relevant was really working to buck a lot of these traditional systems to make their students feel comfortable. And I think that's, you know, kind of the start of this really cool school model. And so we currently have about 120 kids. You know, since 2010, we've been working to unpack what schooling actually means, to create what I would say is kind of a modern vision of what school could be if we put the student truly back in the center. And the way we do that is by keeping enrollment small and keeping our learning experiences personalized and relevant, and keeping an environment that's calm and quiet. And so some ways we bucked this traditional model in the beginning was removing the hierarchy between student and teachers. You know, this is no longer my classroom, my rules, my curriculum, but it's our community. And so students call us by our first names. So I haven't been called by my last name in years, because to us, forming relationships starts by that equal respect. I call you your first name, you call me mine. We even go as far as say our teachers should dress casually, because when we know that we wear that suit and tie, that's just another symbol of kind of that higher
authoritarian,
traditional
institution. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So even some of those visual cues for students, I think really helps. But when I joined Relevant 4 years ago, they were kind of in a fork in the road. So they used to cater to students who were older and only needed one or two credits to graduate. And post-pandemic, they found that students no longer wanted to be part of these huge school systems. They wanted to be part of smaller schools. And so Relevant started to enroll 9th and 10th graders, and they were having students with them for 2, 3, 4 years. And this original model of complete online learning, come and go as you want, was no longer producing consistent results. So I came on 4 years ago, and since then, I will say we have created a system, a whole system that I'm excited to continue to, you know, explore and grow. But it's really rooted in what I would like to say are scheduling practices. And so, you know, in those traditional models, we see 8 hours a day, five mm-hmm. days a week.
Right.
And when we started looking at how we wanted to change our attendance practices, we kind of asked ourselves, is this really what we want for our students? And mm-hmm. is it best for our students? And we know historically this 8 hours a day, 40-hour school week is rooted in the Industrial Revolution to mirror the adults'
yeah.
work week.
So that they didn't have to have childcare, right? I mean, they go to work and yes. their kids are at school, right? Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
funny.
And it also is the summer off was also yeah. related to the agricultural industry so that mm-hmm. the kids could work on the farm. That's the yeah. other piece of it too. Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, we said this probably isn't the best model for our students because there mm-hmm. really are no conclusive results that a longer school day is best. It's really inconclusive. And when you look at those studies, one of the reasons they say, yeah, longer school days are good is because of childcare. So is that really in the best interest of the students or is it in right. the best interest of the parents? And so, you know, there's no conclusive evidence of longer school days. But what there are studies of since the pandemic is that shortening the work week provides better health outcomes for adults. And so if it's providing better health outcomes for adults, it's probably going to provide better health outcomes for students as well. And so, you know, that was the first thing that went. We're definitely not spending 40 hours in the classroom, but we still need to have efficient and effective instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are we going to do that? And so we created a kind of hybrid schedule where students are working from home and in the building. And so we call it our flex scheduling. So they come to us Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And when we first started this, they were still online, but now they're doing in-person instruction that's teacher created. So on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they come and do in-person learning for math, English, social studies, and science. And
then that gives us, right? Yeah.
Yep. The core. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that gives us the two flex days, Monday and Friday. Mm-hmm. And Monday, we call it Enrichment Monday. And it's kind of a whole bag of party tricks that could happen on Monday. So we do senior seminar to help students plan post-graduation because we know that graduating can create a lot of stress and anxiety for students, especially students who have experienced trauma or who don't have stable home lives. So we help them plan to make sure that they are feeling good about their graduation outcomes. We do seminars for our younger students where we talk conflict resolution, study skill, time management. We do interventions for our students who are close to being referred for truancy. We do tutoring. We have safe spaces for students to come and work that are quiet, maybe just away from the home. So Mondays are really focused on enrichment. They're focused on tutoring, reteaching, and community building because we really just want students to feel welcomed to come anytime, even nice. If they're not required.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Work From Anywhere Friday, which our teachers probably love the most. And yeah. that's where our teachers are focused on doing our weekly communications with families, which is another value we have that you don't necessarily see in the traditional schools. So we don't love surprises at Relevant. Parents do not love surprises. And so every week we have our teacher mentors checking in with their families on progress, successes, and areas of improvement. And that's one thing that our parents come back and tell us they love so much about Relevant. They always feel they're in the loop compared to their, you know, their old schools. So our teachers focus on that on Fridays, and our students are able to work on their online courses. They usually have one or two. And if they don't want to work on Friday, that's okay. They can do Saturday or Sunday. They could do Tuesday and Thursday after school. It's really a flexible component as long as they meet their goals.
Right.
And so right. we have this flex scheduling, and we created this, you know, foundation of what we thought was important. And then we said, well, what else can we fix to promote learner outcomes. And so we said, well, maybe the semester system or the trimester system isn't so great either, because if you fail, you're 18 weeks in the hole, and that's a big hole to climb out of. And that creates a lot of anxiety for students. So we said our next step was moving to quarters. And so our students participate in 5 9-week quarters, and they have reported that they feel less overwhelmed because their material is now chunked into smaller, biteable pieces. And we've seen a lot of success with students completing courses and passing courses. And if they fail, you know, we're now 9 weeks that we can fix that. We're not 18 weeks. And so that was our next big change. And then our last big change was saying, do students really need all this time off in the summer? Or is that detrimental? Because we know
that, didn't I? We just talked about that. Yeah. That's so funny. I preempted you, didn't I?
Yes. And so we said, we're really going to do a balanced calendar. So our students work in about 5 9-week chunks. And after those 9 weeks, they get 1 or 2 weeks off and they get to decompress. They get to enjoy time with their friends and family, and they can reset for the next 9 weeks. And so, yeah, with these schedule changes, we don't have many behavior problems. I know everyone's trying to discuss, you know, how do we fix suspensions? How do we lower this number? How do we kick kids out of ISS? But one question are we asking is, are our kids just tired?
What is ISS? Make sure that we don't.
In-school suspension. So there, how do we keep kids out of in-school suspension? Thank how do we keep them, you know, from fighting or antagonizing? But I really, I sit and I wonder, are we just overburdening our students? Are we forcing them to spend too much time in a seat? We've taken away recess, so they don't have that active part. And so a lot of these behaviors, in my opinion, can be curbed by being more respectful of, I think, the students' time, their capacity of learning, and kind of saying, well, if we're efficient and effective at teaching, maybe we don't have to be in a seat for 40 hours a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was kind of our next move, is our teaching effective and efficient? And I'll be the first one to tell you that 100% online learning isn't necessarily the most effective means of teaching, especially when students have lower skills.
Occupational therapy shouldn't be one more thing on your plate. It should be a solution. Lighthouse Therapy offers school-based occupational therapy services that actually work for you and your staff. Our OTs have an average of 16 years of experience in schools, and they support everything from handwriting to fine motor to sensory integration. And you can choose from 3 different service models, whether it be virtual, hybrid, or in-person. It's OT that fits your workflow without the chaos. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn more. Yeah, so, it is definitely something that I've seen in my life, and I'm 57 and seen lots of different models, and educated each one of my children differently, because each one of them was different, you know, different personalities and such. Is it, you really do have to kind of tailor it. There are kids that do really well online, and there are kids, and some kids that were failing during the pandemic, before the pandemic, were failing in public schools. Now they're online, and all the bullying and the issues and the social stuff that was happening at school was out of the way, and they became straight A students. And, you know, it's you really have to look at the child. You really have to.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do that sometimes. But
I think it really goes back to, are our schools too big? Is a 2,000 person high school too? How do we keep tabs on 2,000 students? And it's impossible. And so when we start decreasing the size of enrollment, where we can finally keep a thumb on every single student, you really can decrease a lot of those negative social experiences. At Relevant, we have no reported suspensions or expulsions. We don't even use ISS, which, you know, in-school suspension. We are able to really address, if a behavior comes up, the pathology, the restorative practices, because we have such
amazing
a small population. Mm-hmm. Where in those larger schools, how do you address the behavior for 2,000 kids? You can't necessarily do that. So you resort to punitive punishment. And so I think that's, you know, the benefit of when we start looking at decreasing enrollment, because now we have another reason to improve behavior. So we have less time butt in seat. We have a balanced schedule that allows students decompression time. And from there, around year three, we started to question, is our teaching efficient and effective? And is it most relevant to our students? It wasn't. And so I have to commend my staff because they had just gone through 2 years of complete schedule overhauling, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I walked in year three and I said, okay, guys, we're going to also change the way we teach. We're not going to do procedural teaching and compliance grading anymore. And fortunately for me, they all hopped in my little rowboat and they grabbed an oar and we, you know, started to row up the stream together. And we threw out the old style of teaching and we started to analyze and synthesize the standards and we created a set of competencies and we said, okay, this is how we're going to grade our students. No longer are we focused on if students have World War II dates memorized or Shakespeare memorized. We are going to focus on if our students can think critically, if they can communicate, collaborate, analyze, inquire. Those are what are important
executive
skills
function
nowadays.
Skills, higher level executive function skills. Absolutely. Yep, for sure.
And so we grade our students on that now. Every class, every content has a rubric. And what's really cool when a school shifts to competency grading is if a student walks into English class with top-notch skills, they can show mastery in 1 year of all the English rubrics. They've earned all their English credit.
Nice.
So yeah. They're no longer forced to sit in English 9, 10, 11, and 12 because that's, you know, that's just the norm. That's what everyone does. Here, take this quiz. Let me grade it. They, I think, in that sense, are able to show their skills. We're able to issue credit. And once again, it goes back to it's respectful of the student's knowledge and time. And because a student is no longer forced to sit into a class where they're bored because they already know the information, it reduces behaviors.
Oh,
again.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And this all kind of circles back to we're able to do this because we have a small population.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's really kind of, in my opinion, the root of, you know, quality student-centered education. And so what's been really great about my time with Relevant and their evolution from 100% online learning to now in-person teaching is that we're seeing a 15% increase in graduation rates.
I was
going to
ask you and you answered that question before I got there. Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah. We're seeing an increase in student credit earned and, you know, success in classes. In just 1 year, it went up by 10%, which for our population is celebratory. Our school index has increased double within 4 years. So in Michigan, a school index is just kind of like your school grade. So we've doubled that, you know, since I started in 2022. And so I have this really great qualitative personal narrative about, you know, if we change schedules, if we change what we're focused on with grading, things are great. Kids love it. But we also have the quantitative data to back it up.
To support it. Yeah.
Yeah. We're really doing student-centered learning. And we're doing this by focusing on what are some of those traditional systems that seem counterproductive to 21st century learning and living.
Wow, that's incredible, Lauren. I'm so impressed with what you guys are doing. And the fact that the students are graduating more and finishing more. I love the fact that, because I had three very intelligent children. And one of the things that was a struggle for them in high school was being bored. Being bored in English class, even though they were in a, you know, they did the the higher level classes, it still was, and you know, it became an issue to a certain extent, and you want what's best for your kids always, right? So, and that was something that, you know, it's like, well, we got there, we got them all graduated, and now they all work for me. But it's just one of those things where it's like, I get it. As a parent who's seen it, absolutely. And you probably have some kids, super smart kids, that have had problems with school. They've got issues already, social issues or emotional issues or whatever it is, but they're super smart. And they're so smart that they're working around the system. So I can see this being a way for them to just be successful, because it's like, now you're not forcing me to do something that I already know. Don't teach me something I already know, right?
Yeah. And what's really great is if they earn the credits faster because they have those skills, they already have it mastered, we're able to open up their day to other experiences. So now we can guide you to an apprenticeship or dual enrollment, or you can even go work as an experience, and you can do that in the afternoon because you only have to come to school half a day because you've shown mastery. And so I think it's really great because we're not forcing students into classes they already know. We're allowing them to work at their own pace, because if I know English but need help in math, maybe now I can spend some more time developing those math skills. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, once they've shown mastery, they have this time to really explore their own personal experiences if they want, or we can guide them through dual enrollment, CT, et cetera. But I think it's really getting down to truly being student-centered. A lot of schools can say we're student-centered, but I'd ask, well, what are you doing that actually puts the student in the driver's seat, that's actually respecting their knowledge, their time, you know, their opinions and stuff. So
amazing.
It's exciting to work at Relevant. And it's exciting to work with a team that just jumps on board with me and says, okay, let's go. So I've been
grateful. That's a testament to your leadership, though. That is a testament to your amazing leadership, because people will follow a good leader. They will, because they see that you have an idea that makes sense. And that's amazing. I have one question for you about your school day. What time does school start on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah, so this is where we've been grappling with the most, because we know that the biggest indicator is start of day.
Yeah.
And so
I know that's why I asked that question.
So we have been talking back and forth about, do we want to push our start day back? And I think, you know, it's going to be one of the next things we look at. It will probably also be based on community surveys of what the students want. But right now we go from 8 to 2, and it's, you know, it's a discussion we have every day, and it's not something I love currently, but it's a system that we're going to start looking into.
Yeah, because I'd heard that there was a study, and I can't quote the study. I can't, but I, you know, it's one of those things where it's like they say middle school and high school students should start later, and yet they tend to be the ones that start at 7:30 in the morning, and you know, they need more sleep because they're growing. And you know, my both of my boys, I swear, when they each grew a minimum of 4 inches in a year. For 2 years, and my youngest, it was 3 years. He grew 12 inches a foot in 3 years.
Wow.
It was crazy. And, you know, and they were eating, you know, in order to grow, you got to fuel that. So they went from a 2,000-3,000 calorie a day to probably 5,000 calories a day, just because they were hungry. And they'd come to me at 10 o'clock at night after I made sure they had a full dinner. And they'd say, Mom, I'm hungry. And I'm like, then feed yourself. I'm happy to show you how to cook something, or I will have something that's high energy for you to get you through the evening, because they're hungry. They were just, and it was just like, I get it. You're growing. We want to make sure that we don't stunt that. And so, you know, I know that start time, there's been studies that say start times for high schools should be later. And I can't quote
the study.
I think
it's not before 9 a.m. 10, I think, is ideal. And, you know, I would like to push it back. I think the discussion then becomes with our community is, if we push this back and then you have to come to school until 3 or 4, does that impact your work or your extracurriculars?
Right.
And so, you know, like I said,
the ripple effect, right?
Yeah. What are the unintended, intended consequences? And so once again, though, because we have such a small community, it's a decision we can make based as a community.
Nice.
Because mm-hmm. we can talk to all our parents.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing. Okay. One last question. And I try to ask this of most. I don't ask it of all now because sometimes it's relevant and sometimes it's not. And you can't say money because we know that every school needs more money. But if you could miraculously solve one issue, just have it be gone and know that it's gone, what would it be?
So our biggest barrier at Relevant is transportation. We don't have a transportation system. We rely on Eaton County's community county bus, and it's not always viable. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes they're full, sometimes they're not, and they have done wonders working with us, mm-hmm. but it's, like I said, it's not a perfect system. And so we're always trying to brainstorm, is this the year we buy, you know, a 10 passenger van and hire someone to go pick kids up? And so transportation is definitely our biggest crux with attendance.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah. Got to get them there, right? Got to get them there. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Great. Great. Well, Lauren, where do people go to learn more about this amazing system that you are creating? And if they have questions, to reach you?
Yeah. So we have a website, relevantacademy.org. We also have a Facebook. It's Relevant Academy of Eaton County. We just posted a really fun welcome back video. So you'll see all the teachers up there, and you know, all our contact information is there as well.
Perfect. All right. Well, and welcome back, because it's August 27th, 2025.
Yes.
It'll be probably October. Oh, good. Awesome. Yeah. Because this will, it's usually about 6 to 8 weeks before they're posted. So people are talking, why are you talking about the first day of school when it's October? Well, because that's when we recorded it. So there you go. That's, I'll tell you, the, we did not know when we started Brighter Together, the impact and the amount of people, superintendents and special education leaders, that were going to enjoy this and have it be something that they wanted, and just such a positive response to our request. And we talked about, and the ones in the beginning, the brave ones, were our first ones who were like, well, we have this podcast, but we don't have anything to show you. Well, now we do have something to show you, but it's been such an amazing, I get to talk to all kinds of really amazing people all the time and hear the different stories, and it's really cool. It's really, really cool. So I love what you're doing. I love that those kids are, you know, you're creating a way for them to have success, and that matters. And every single child, right? Every single child. So
yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, thanks. Well, it was nice to talk a little bit about us. We don't often get this space, but it is exciting, and I'm glad that I could talk about the creation that my team is doing, because it's great work.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And that's the thing. It's like, we don't look for the big. We don't look for the small. We look for people that want to talk about the amazing things that are happening in education. And again, that goes back to who we are as a company, too, because it's like, it's about people. We love people. We love educators. We love what's happening in education. And we don't care if you are impacting a child with what you are doing. That's what matters. That's why we're here. And that's the most amazing part. So kudos to you. Keep up the good work. God bless your work. I love it. And thank you for being on Brighter Together, because we are really, really are brighter together.
Awesome. Thank you.